Hello, and thank you for listening to our online Victory Sermon Archive. This archive is updated weekly with messages by our pastor, Nathan Barker. We hope you enjoyed the study from God's Word today, and thanks again for joining us.
Matthew chapter 13. How is your belief system? How is your belief system? The difference is in believing and not believing. What is it? How is it? Well, how is your belief system? What is the difference in your life in believing and not believing? I guess one simple truth is this. God wants to do a work in His people's lives. If you're a born-again believer, I can promise you this. God wants to do a work. God wants to do a good work in your life. He wants to do a meaningful work in your life. I don't care who you are. I don't care where you've come from. I don't care what valleys you've gone through. I don't care how many times you've fallen. I don't care how far you have fallen. I want you to know that if you're a saved person, God wants to do a mighty work in your life. Still, you're a vessel that He considers to be worthy of use. How's your belief system? God wants to do a work in His people's lives, and He will, but some, He won't. Some, He'll bless and work, but it won't be much of a blessing because of their belief. There was a man that I know, a good friend of mine, who, and he and his buddy started a business. The buddy was a little more experienced in business and had a good understanding of the market and had a great business instinct. And the business boomed. And the business became very, very successful. Both became very wealthy. It was said to me one time that the one friend had to drag the other friend to being a millionaire, kicking and screaming. The point is this. They both became wealthy. One enjoyed the ride more than the other. And the outcome was the same. Wouldn't you have just rather been the one to enjoy the ride? Especially if the outcome's the same. It's the same way with you and me. I wonder if some will get to heaven and look back over their life and realize that they were kicking and screaming all the way to the blessings of God. I wonder if some will enjoy the ride simply because of their faith and belief that God is in total control and wants what's best. This passage of Scripture that I'm wanting to read first of all this morning, and we'll read a few passages of Scripture this morning, but this passage of Scripture found in Matthew chapter 13, verse number 58, shows the disappointment of Jesus and the missing out of people. What is belief, or rather disbelief, doing for you? Verse number 58, it's real simple. Last verse of the chapter. And He, Christ, did not many mighty works because of their unbelief. And He, Jesus, did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Father, we're in need of You this morning so much. Empty vessel is what I want to be, filled with Your treasure. I want to be an empty riverbed. You be the river flowing through me. A vessel that I only say what You want me to say and think the thoughts that You want and need me to think. Take this sermon however You want to take it, direct it. The preparation's been there. The study's been there. The guidance by You has been there. The delivery will come. But if Your Spirit doesn't move, nothing will be accomplished. And so we invite your Spirit here. And Father, I pray that you'll just be honored, that your Son Jesus will be glorified, and that your Spirit will be pleased and move freely. If there's anyone that does not know you as their personal Savior, may they trust you this morning, because that's the most important thing. Them developing a relationship with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Here we have a whole city that most likely had hundreds of sick people. Let's just put it into today's scenario, 2020. Let's pretend Jesus Christ is physically, literally coming to Fairmont. Let's also pretend that COVID is as bad as they say it is, and that it's spreading like wildfire here in Fairmont. 18,000 people. Out of the 18,000 people, let's say 1,000 has COVID. 3,000 has cancer. 1,000 have heart disease, heart problems. Some have arthritis, physical pain. Every morning they have to take a pill just so that they can move. Some simple things, a couple hundred, you know, they have acne. You know, teenagers fighting that. Maybe 10 have the stomach bug. And the rest of everybody's pretty healthy. And Jesus is coming to Fairmont. And Jesus wants to come to Fairmont. Now, if you'll read the passages of Scripture before this and after this in Luke and Matthew and John, whatever, he goes into many, many cities. And the Bible says he heals every one of them. That means if the person has a toothache, Jesus heals everybody in the city. Every one of them. Can you imagine? And he's coming to Fairmont. But our religious committee in Fairmont sends out a mass email. Wait, we don't want Jesus here. He causes trouble. And so the next thing you know, everybody in Fairmont has signs up, go home, Jesus, we don't want you here. Get away, please stay away, get out of here, don't come to Fairmont. And Jesus, ever being the gentleman that he is, if not wanted, never stays. So he just travels up 79 and goes to Morgantown. And everybody in Morgantown gets healed. And everybody in Fairmont stays sick. You're like, that'd be crazy. I know. And that's exactly what happened in Matthew chapter 13. Jesus is greatly disappointed, because Jesus wants to heal everyone there, and because of their unbelief, he won't. They didn't believe. And the Bible says he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Hey, are you missing out on the miracles of God because of your belief? Or unbelief? I mean, God really wants to do something with you and your life, but you won't let him. He wants to heal you, but you won't let him. He wants to use you, but you won't let him. He wants to give you far more than you could have ever hoped or dreamt of. But it doesn't come to fruition because of your unbelief. Wouldn't that be sad? Maybe I should say it this way. Isn't that sad? How's your belief? Now I want you to take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 1. Is your unbelief making you miss out on the blessings of God? That's point one. Point two is your unbelief making you miss out on the blessings of God more pleasantly? Or is it making you miss the blessings of God less pleasant? Are you missing the blessings of God? Or is the blessings of God less pleasant to you because of your unbelief? Look at verse number 12 of chapter 1. I was reading Luke the other day, and this popped out to me, and this is a wonderful chapter, and I know we're getting ready. If chapter 2 is the birth of Christ. You'll recognize that in the beginning, you know. You'll recognize all of that. But look at verse number 12 of chapter 1. And when Zechariah saw, he was troubled. Zechariah was in the temple, and he saw an angel. God had not spoken to mankind by vision, by angels, by his presence since the Old Testament, the last book of the Old Testament. For I think 400 years, there's silence. God doesn't say a word to mankind. Doesn't move, doesn't say nothing. Until chapter 1 of Luke. Zechariah is in the temple, an old man, well up there in age, an old man, doing his duty, and an angel shows up. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, "Fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son. Thou shalt call his name John." This is the mother and father of John the Baptist. "And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. He shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." And Zechariah said unto the angel, "Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years." Unbelief. Unbelief. Listen to what the angel says. "The angel answered unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show these glad tidings." Now look at verse 20. "And behold, thou shalt be dumb." Now, that means you can't speak. "And not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my word." Zechariah, this old man, this old preacher of God, nobody, God hasn't moved and spoken to the mankind for years. And he's just about his daily routine. You know, shuffling in there, going over here, doing the candles, doing the things. Not, you know, he believes in God. He loves God. But he's just doing his thing, daily routine. And all of a sudden, he does his routine. He looks up and there's an angel standing there. I just always picture an angel standing in the corner. I don't know why. Angel just standing in the corner, illuminating. And he takes a step back and starts to shake a little bit, a little fearful. And Gabriel says the right words, of course. He always says the right words. "Fear not." Unless you're supposed to be afraid, then he says, "Fear." But he didn't. He said, "Fear not." And then Gabriel gives this wonderful message. Beautiful. beautiful message. You're going to have a son. Your this is interesting to me. Go back and study it. Your prayers have been answered. Now, I don't have time to get into that, but that either means one or two things. That the prayers that Zechariah prayed when he was young, like in his 20s, wanting a child, God still considered them relevant and new, even 60 years later. Or Zechariah had gotten in the habit of praying every day for a kid, and he's still praying for a kid, doesn't even realize it. He's 80 years old. But he says, your prayer has been heard. And you and your wife are going to have a baby. And you're going to name him John. And everybody's going to be glad. He is going to have the ear of the Lord. He's going to stand in the presence of God. And Zechariah says, how can this be? We're old. I don't believe you. You need to show me a sign. Gabriel's just a messenger. I don't think there's emotion, but Gabriel just says, I'm just a messenger of the Lord. God told me to tell you that. Since you don't believe, you're not going to be able to talk until he's born. Gone. He walks out. And he still has his temple duty, so it's probably a year he can't speak. Nothing comes out. He walks out, and the Bible says they understood that there was an angel there because he asked for a tablet, and he starts writing down what happened. But he couldn't say a word. I had a polyp growing on my vocal cords a few years back, and I had to have that polyp removed off of my vocal cord. The doctor said, when we remove this polyp, you won't be able to speak for 2 weeks. I thought I was supposed to keep my mouth shut for 2 weeks. No, I didn't realize when he says you wouldn't be able to speak for 2 weeks, he said he meant you wouldn't be able to speak. Whether you try or not, nothing's coming out. My wife was very pleased, but it was very disturbing to me. I could talk. I mean, you know, preaching and leading songs and being a principal, there's some talking involved. 1 week went by, and the fear started coming in. Will I ever be able to talk? I mean, one slip of that scalpel, taking that polyp off. I could form a whisper. He couldn't speak. Can you imagine? He couldn't cry out. He couldn't holler for the remote control. He couldn't ask for a glass of water. He woke up and wanted to say something and nothing came out. I mean, for a year, he couldn't speak. He couldn't speak the rest of the time in the temple. Then he goes home. The Lord came upon Zechariah, Elizabeth looked a little different that day, and they had a baby 9 months later. For 9 months, he couldn't speak. Baby John comes out. What are you going to name him, Elizabeth? I think we'll name him John. John? That's a crazy name. You don't have anybody in your name, family named John. Let's call him Zechariah. And then all of a sudden, Zechariah says, his name is John. His name is John. Now let me ask you something. Did he get the blessing of having a baby? But for 9 months to a year, what should have been a great blessing was a shallow blessing. He couldn't even speak. He couldn't praise the Lord's name. He couldn't thank God. He couldn't go to his wife and comfort her while she's 80 years of age, sick, throwing up, or whatever happens when she's trying to. He can't. What could have been a tremendous blessing was dampened by his unbelief. The miracle still came. John still came. John was still great. He could speak again. But what if he would have just said, "Praise the Lord, I believe. That's awesome." Goes out there and says, "Guys, my wife and I are going to have a baby. His name is John. I declare it in the name of the Lord. This is a miracle that God's going to do. He's told me." Singing home. But nothing. God says, "You don't believe me? I'll keep your mouth shut. The rocks will cry out before you do." What could have been a tremendous blessing was somewhat dampened because of his unbelief. But there's another story in this same chapter. It's remarkable. It's Mary. Look at verse number 26. "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee and Nazareth, and to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph in the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came to her and said, 'Hail, thou that art highly favored of the Lord. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women.' And when she saw him, she was troubled at saying, cast her mind, what manner of salutation should be?" What are you talking about? "And the angel said, 'Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Behold, thou shalt conceive in the womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord shall give unto him the throne of the father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and the kingdom there shall be no end.' Then said Mary unto the angel," now this is not unbelief, this is a good question. I mean, by now Zacharias should have understood how having a baby worked. Mary also understood, and she asked a good question. "How can this be? I have never known a man, or I know not a man. I'm a virgin. This is hard." The angel said, "The Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also the holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." Verse 36, "And behold, that cousin Elizabeth, she hath conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Mary said, 'Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word.' And the angel departed from her." Did you hear that? Mary said, "Whatever you say, Gabriel, that'll work for me." Total belief. Okay. I've often thought about this. Well, actually, I've often thought about this since last week when I came across it and started chewing on it just a little bit. But in verse 45, Elizabeth, she goes to Elizabeth's house, and Elizabeth sees it, and John's in the womb, 6 months in the womb, and Mary walks in with baby Jesus inside her tummy, and John does a flip or moves. And Elizabeth says, "You walked in, the baby jumped." And all of a sudden, Elizabeth starts to prophesy. She starts to call out Mary. She starts, "Blessed is she that believed." I mean, but look at verse 45. Elizabeth says, "And blessed is she that believed. For there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord." And I started thinking about this. What if, now we're living in the world of what ifs now, and we don't like to live there, but what if Mary hadn't have believed? You know what I think would have happened? This is what I think. This is personal. This is Nathanology. If Mary says, "I don't believe," then I don't think Mary would have been the vessel God used to birth Jesus Christ. And you talk about the possibility of missing out on a blessing. Which now makes me think, it's not in Scripture, but was there ever another time that they said, "Hey," and the woman didn't believe and wasn't used? I don't know. I don't put Mary on a pedestal. She is blessed. Why is she blessed? Because she had Jesus? Well, of course. Why did she have Jesus? Because she believed. Because Elizabeth says, "Blessed are you that believed." So Mary is basking in the blessings of God. She goes through this pregnancy, even though it's a hard pregnancy. She goes through this pregnancy. She has a baby in a barn. And she says, and the Bible says, and she held all these things in her heart. She just marveled The shepherds came. She had the baby in a barn. It wasn't she complained, she marveled. She kept all these things in her heart. Precious. Jesus at 12 goes off to the temple and teaches. For 3 days there, he's gone. They go back and Jesus says, must be about my Father's business. And the Bible says, and she kept these things in her heart. Mary was blessed. See, the difference between Zechariah and Mary is both miracles were performed. One had to be silent for a year, and the other got to enjoy the blessings of God. And I want to know if you are being blessed or are you being stunted because of your disbelief in your blessing? Because God does want to do a work in your life, but some of you don't believe. I mean, you don't believe like the city don't believe. You're not like saying, Jesus, get away from me. I don't believe nothing. I don't want you here. Get away. You're not saying that. Maybe you are. But you shouldn't be saying that. And if you're saying that, he'll do it. He won't mess with you. But Jesus comes to you and says, I want to do this for your life. Well, I don't think he can use me. I don't think he can use me. I don't think he can use me. And you're calling God a liar. Because God says, I can use you. And you say, you can't use me. I mean, if God says, I can use you, and you say, you can't use me, what are you calling God? Maybe we need to get our eyes off of what we think of ourselves and start looking at what he thinks of us. That's called belief. I'll use another word, faith. Listen, nobody's worthy to serve Christ. The first person that thinks they're worthy to serve Christ is probably the least worthy person to serve Christ. But it's amazing what God can do with a crooked stick. The old saying is he can draw a straight line with a crooked stick. And friend, you don't have to be perfect, but you do have to be surrendered. And you do have to believe that God can with your life. Can he? Looking back over your life right now, what blessings have you missed out on because of your unbelief? I mean, you just totally missed them. He wouldn't do it in your life because of your unbelief. What does he want to do with your life? And it's going to come to fruition, but you're just going to be kicking and screaming to being what God wants you to be the whole time. Because you're stepping, but you're stepping begrudgingly, in a sense. Or are you just ready to say, I surrender all. God, whatever you want to do with me, I believe you can. And enjoy the ride. I have a bad habit. I don't enjoy the ride, I enjoy the destination. It's crazy. We'll go on vacation, 10-hour drive. My goal is not to stop. If I could have a car that could go 10 hours without stopping, I'd make him wear diapers. I don't want to stop. I don't want to eat. I want to get there. And when I get there, I'm like, well, now I'm here, now what? But I have a tendency not to enjoy the journey. That's my makeup. But I got to be honest with you, I want to enjoy the journey. I'm going to go to heaven someday. I'm either going to go with the blessings of God because I believe totally, or I'm going to go with the blessings of God, but somewhat in a miserable state on earth because I believe, but yet I always struggle not to believe. You know, I don't know if I believe all the way. And so I have this up and down relationship with Christ, and it's always a struggle. It's always up and down. It's always a wishy-washy, and I'm just going to say, I believe. Or I'm going to get to heaven, but God's going to say, I wanted to use you so bad, but I couldn't because you just totally left me out. Now, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, if you were to die today and you say, Nathan, I don't know that I'd go to heaven. If I were to die today, I'd go to hell because I don't even know how to go to heaven. I want you to know that the most important thing for you to do is to put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. It's not just believing that he exists. It's putting your faith and trust on him and saying, I trust you, Christ, to take me to heaven. I know I'm a sinner. I know that you died for me on the cross. I believe that. I know that you're God. And I know that I'm not worthy, but you died for me. You paid the price, and I call on your name to save me. Please save me. And the Bible says he will in no wise cast you out. But there are people that are going to die and split hell wide open all over America, all over the world, and a lot of the churches that are being attended to this morning, they're going to die and go to hell because they've never put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. It's just been a big show, and you've pushed God away so many times, and God's been knocking on the heart's door, and you've said no. Get away! And he says, as the gentleman he is, he says, okay, I won't knock anymore. I'll leave the city. Don't be that person. If Jesus is knocking on your heart's door, answer it. Open it.
Thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed the study from God's Word. Please feel free to like us on Facebook and join us anytime for our live stream. We hope you have a blessed day.